We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on the Score.
What's wrong with my balls?
Injuries, for one. But it'd been way too long since we talked to Big Dave. Ball on Bulls. Locked on Bulls. He's on hot mic during Bulls games sometimes. At Ball Sports, B-A-W-L Sports. On Twitter, he's kind enough to join us on Twitch as well. Search 670 The Score on Twitch. Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Big Dave? Been a while.
It's been a minute, man, but you brought me back on, right? You're playing music from my favorite rap group ever, which is Gangstar. So, yeah, I'm happy right now. It's good to see you, though.
Obviously, that was my choice.
Obviously.
Yeah. I didn't want to upstage you and say who it was and, you know, name my 10 favorite tracks and then, you know, leave you with none of them behind. So, but I just try to make the guests look good. So you're welcome. That was all me.
That's so kind.
Yeah, of course. Is your confidence shook with the Nets game and the subsequent losing streak?
No, not at all. My confidence pretty much remains the same. I think it would be shook if there was no, like, logic behind the loss. Like, I can understand why they took those L's. I get it. When people are like, man, the Bulls.
Did we lose him or me? I feel like I dropped there.
I think we lost Dave. We'll try to get the connection reestablished.
Oh, okay. We lost Dave. All right, good. It went dead in my ear. Like, I thought that maybe we were out. But yeah, I'm with him. I'm not panicking yet. There is logic to what's happened. The thing is that it depends what, to me, like the Bulls issue, it depends on what conversation you're having. If it's, hey, this shows that they can't win a championship, obviously there's validity to how do the Bulls match up with Giannis? How do the Bulls match up with Kevin Durant? But every team in the league has those questions about those types of players. If you don't have one of those transcendent top five superstars, then every other team in the league has a question of how you match up with a top five transcendent superstar. But the Bulls have gotten by on depth, effort, hustle, and a lot of damn talent. It's just talent that is not as physically overwhelming in a unicorn sense, right? Like, a lot of teams have guys who play like DeMar DeRozan or play like Alex Caruso. They might not be as good, but that's where the Bulls have had their advantage. It's like, oh, well, the other team has a guy who they could put on DeRozan at the end of the game and force him into a 20-foot fadeaway, which is a tough shot. And so the other teams have an answer for the Bulls in a way that maybe the Bulls don't have an answer for the other top teams. But over the course of 82, their effort might get them in that spot. And then going forward, you know, when you get into a playoff series, we'll see what happens. I look at it like the Bulls can be in a position to hopefully, it's weird, like the 12 being better than 3, going back to what it was back in the day. But I just want to see the Bulls at full strength because we still haven't totally seen it yet. Do we have Big Dave back? He looks like he's ready to go.
We do, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear. Big Dave, you there?
I'm here, man. I'm here. I'm with you.
Oh, dude, my bad. I would have kept monologuing for forever. you were saying there's logic behind it. But to me, like, I can't refute when I talk with Bernstein or someone who's like, well, they don't have an answer for Giannis or they don't have an answer for Durant. It's like, yeah, you're right.
True.
Checkmate.
Yeah.
They don't. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they can't win. It just means that they would be an underdog if they match up against them.
Yeah, very true. There's no answer. Nobody has an answer for those guys. There's no answer for Durant. There's no answer for Giannis. But matchup-wise, they also have issues there because of size, especially going against guys like Milwaukee. Because, of course, they're coming in with Lopez as well. They're coming in with Bobby Portis as well also. Like, it's going to be an issue. That's a bump-and-thump team. And the Bulls' defense is more death by a thousand cuts, you know, with the guards that can switch positions, you know, with the high IQ and things like that, with Caruso, Lonzo Balls, and guys like that. But there's no big guy that can just defend like that for the team. They're guys that size can probably be an issue, maybe a few possessions, like maybe a Tony Bradley, a Tyler Cook, and guys like that. But they've learned to win with the way that they're playing with that death by a thousand cuts defense. So that's why they won't, you know what I'm saying? It can still be a team that wins, but they'll definitely be underdogs going in against those guys.
Are you willing to trade Patrick Williams and or Kobe White?
I'm willing to trade Kobe White. Patrick Williams, yeah, I'm willing to trade him, but he's not going to be traded. Like, that's their baby. That's their first ever pick. They're not going to trade Patrick Williams, and that's why I keep trying to stress the Bulls fans. I understand these trade machines, and I see them all, but if they're going to trade Patrick Williams, it's going to be for somebody that's super-duper legit. They're not just going to let him go for Harrison Barnes. That's not going to happen. So I don't even concern myself or even think about trading Patrick Williams because I know it's just not going to happen. Now, Kobe White, that makes a little more logical sense to me as far as a guy that could be moved. They like him too, and I like Kobe White a lot. I've been defending Kobe White all season long from people, man, because they were telling me after game three, oh, he can't play. And I'm like, yeah, he can play. Like, just watch what he does. What Mo Cheeks has done for him has been amazing as far as how the game has slowed down and his defense, which has just gotten way, way better. So I'm really impressed with what I've seen from him, but he's still a chip that they can use if they want to improve this team.
I'm with you on basically everything you just said. It's if they get everybody back healthy, there's only so many guards and perimeter players. I know it's positionless basketball, so guards is maybe a little restrictive, but LaVine, DeRozan, Lonzo, Caruso, Kobe, Io. That's six dudes. Like, yeah. You need size, and I feel like they need to shift some of those resources to the front court. It might not happen at this trade deadline. Like, they might just stand pat, play in the buyout market, get a big who they can get six fouls in 10 minutes and address it in the offseason. But there's no way those six guys are just going to be here for the duration. There's just not enough minutes for guys who are relatively speaking all of similar positions.
Well, minutes and money. Because Kobe White also, you know, will be looking for that contract upgrade real, real soon. You know, he's coming out of that rookie deal soon, so he'll be looking for that upgrade too as well. And Io, with him coming in playing as well as he has, he's made guys a little bit more expendable, you know, as far as who they want to trade and who they want to get rid of. So that's going to be really interesting going into offseason. But I agree with you as far as the buyout is concerned. I think that's where they'll look. I always think of a guy like Tristan Thompson for some reason when I think of a guy they should buy out and get, because for me, he just kind of fits the mold as far as the size, as far as the basketball IQ, and a guy who can switch positions and play really good defense and is a good rebounder and is a champion. So he kind of fits those roles for me. But, yeah, I see the buyout.
Ball on Bulls is the podcast. Big Dave is our guest. They don't take a lot of threes, but they make threes at a very good clip. When I see those numbers, I think, take more threes. Do you think the Bulls have a three-point shooting problem when it comes to volume of three-point shots?
I would say no. And the reason I say that is because I'm strictly looking at the success they've had so far without shooting a high volume of three-point shots. If that was hindering them from winning, then I'd agree. I'd say, yes, it's a problem. It's an issue. We need to correct it. But they understand, and I'm sure they understand that they want more three-point shooting. It's probably why Matt Thomas got signed for the rest of the year. Not that he's going to play all the time, but just to have a guy who can be a three-point threat, you want to keep that on your team. It's why a guy like Kobe White could still be here at the trade deadline. Io three-point shooting is solid. Lonzo Ball, one of the best three-point shooters in the league, percentage-wise and things like that. But, yeah, as far as volume and things like that, no, it's only an issue if it's not working. That's the only time any of this is an issue.
At the end of games, I totally get why it's DeRozan. He has proven that it should be, but he hits those buzzer beaters, the back-to-back buzzer beaters, and I feel like since then, in close end of game spots, he's just gotten terrible looks. Like very high degree of difficulty looks, and he's been treated as this like superstar isolation player, like he's James Harden or vintage Kobe Bryant. And I know the numbers say he's having a Kobe Bryant season, but I'm uncomfortable with what it's turned into since the buzzer beaters, because I don't want the Bulls' plan at the end of the game to just be fadeaway 20-foot jumper over a 6'10" guy for DeMar DeRozan, and that's what it's been the way. And granted, LaVine has been out for some of it, and they're not fully healthy, but I'm worried that we have turned over, like, just in terms of like, oh, well, DeMar will hit every shot. They got to figure out something a little bit cleaner for me at the end of games. What do you think?
I think even before that, though, Danny, you can go back to that Knicks game when the Joakim Noah night. That was DeRozan taking that final shot. I was there as well with my guy Matt Peck. They were taking that final shot at the end where he didn't hit anything, but it was a very difficult shot that he took to try to.
At least they ran action, though, for Zach.
They did.
And
they
didn't. He kept it, right? Like, that was a read. Like, you could either give it or keep it. He keeps it. Misses the shot. It was a tough shot. But at least there. Now it's been like four corners, give the ball to DeMar and create. It's like, that's not what he is.
Well, and also, if you remember those last two shots, the first one, there was no timeout called, so there was no real play to be run. That was just on him. The second one, he wasn't really the first option if you look at it. They were looking for someone else to give that ball to. And when they gave it to him, because he was being double-teamed already, so it wasn't like they were looking for him in the corner, but he was the only one available, so they had to go to him. So it was like these things that he's not just saying, I'm going to make it difficult just for the sake of making it difficult. They made it difficult by taking away what they wanted to do. So I have to credit the defense on that, but give DeMar even more credit for hitting the shot. But I hear your point. Of course, you want to see Zach do more in that fourth quarter and as far as being that option to take that shot. With the last second shot, you saw Vucevic get that chance when they double teamed DeMar in Boston, and he got that chance at that 3-point shot. It was a really clean look. But I have no problem going to DeMar DeRozan, who nickname is King of the Fourth. I have no issue with him, you know, doing what he wants to do until it doesn't work.
Yeah, he's amazing. It's to me, it's not a knock on DeMar as much as it is just an acknowledgement of keep running things, and he doesn't need to only be the only option. And yes, he passed it off to Vooch this last time. I understand that. By the way, do you have a Vooch theory? I'm out of the business of predicting if it's going to be a good Vooch night or a bad Vooch night. I can't. I'm out of the business. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a theory. Chill, everybody. He'll be okay. Like, he'll be fine. He's a 2-time All-Star who's never had a season like this. It never really has been on a team where he's a third option. So he's also kind of learning that. And, yeah, he's been inconsistent. I get that. But you got to remember, when he was brought in here, Danny, the team was built around him to hide some of his issues. You know, Patrick Williams was going to hide some of those issues he had. Losing Patrick Williams and getting a 6'4" Javonte Green in there and him being the only big down there, he's been getting work. Now, he can't be getting work by Dwayne Dedman and guys like that. I understand that, but his scoring and things, I promise you, I'm not concerned. 16-11, I'm not concerned, honestly.
I tend to agree with you, but we are at the halfway point of the season, and there's no solution coming in terms of a massive big unless they make a massive trade. So I think it's fair to say he has to play better, and he has to play more consistently. Like, all of the explanations are plenty rational, but at some point it's on the player to just play better. He's not playing very well.
I don't disagree with that. It's been inconsistent. That's why I can't say not playing well, because I watched him in Boston drop 27-6-6. I watched him have a game with a stat line that nobody in the history of the NBA had ever had before. So I can't say terrible or bad, but inconsistent, yes. I would love him to be more consistent. You can't go 2-for-13 and have Steven Adams and their backup center playing better than you. You can't do stuff like that, no.
Big Dave, Ball on Bulls, Ball Sports on Twitter. Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate you, Danny, man. Much love, bro.
Adam Hogue in 25 minutes. Gary Meyer at 4 o'clock. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.